going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's welcome in Willard and Dibs. It is the crossover, and they're joining us from the team store at Thrive City, adjacent to Chase Center. What's up, gentlemen? Is it starting to percolate out there?
Yeah. I don't know if we're there yet. It's a beautiful day. So, yeah, we got a few stragglers, some people that are getting started. But, no, not calling it a percolation sensation yet.
Well, I wasn't asking about you guys. I didn't really care about the stragglers. I was wondering about if there are other people out there.
Thank you,
yes,
Sandy.
I'm still on my game in Nevada.
There are other humans here, but no. Do we have the vibe of the game about to begin yet? We do not, and it's because you have not been singing on the air yet. I'll never forget that. The last time we had a beautiful day and a big playoff game that everybody was sort of drum beating and expecting to be a victory, it was when we were here for Game 6 against the Sacramento Kings. The Warriors went out there and had an absolutely horrible effort. So I'm glad that you're not singing because it didn't work that day.
Only for elimination games. That's it.
And Willard, I get a little jealous because you always act like he was solo. Your boy was also singing with them that day.
Yeah, but I would look at you and I'd expect you to be able to sing. What was so alluring about that day was that it was Steiny singing on the radio. It was just different, Goo. Like that fits with who you are. It does not fit who Steiny is. Steiny, it doesn't fit you. That it was you stepping out of your comfort zone is what
sure.
I loved about it.
Yeah, I really did. And speaking of stepping out of their comfort zone, that's not really going to be a good segue.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the game Saturday?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a great testimony to the toughness that the Warriors were able to show. You didn't have Jimmy Butler, and you guys mentioned it before, the lack of offense early in that game, and yet you just, like Teddy, KGB, and Rounders, you kept hanging around, and, you know, they hung around, and they cut it to three, and by the time you got to the third quarter, I felt like they were going to be able to make a push and get over, but then you think about how they did it, and you know, Buddy Hield was big. Quentin Post channeled his inner Kevon Looney with the big-time rebounds. And you just kind of, you got it done. And Houston, you guys made great points earlier about their offense and how, you know, Houston's probably not going to beat you 125-95 in this series. But a game like that, I thought, was a recipe for kind of a disaster for the Warriors. But they hung in there, and then Steph did what he does. And you pulled out a huge Game 3 win, pivotal Game 3.
No doubt. And Willard, I want to just say this to you because you aren't by yourself. But last week you were just talking about the Rockets defensively yanking and pulling and grabbing the chef. But I just want to say this PSA to you two and everybody out there listening. This dude's pushing 37 years old. He's 37. we got to enjoy it, man. And it looks like it's not slowing down at all. But this is incredible. It's a team game. Buddy was great. The team was great. Kerr, everybody. But watching Steph Curry, Michael Jackson perform again and again without Jimmy Butler on that stage, and I got goosebumps when I saw him clap, do the Kevin Durant to Draymond. And he wasn't being mean, but it was like, give me the effing ball. I'm in a zone. And then to go down and do what he did, it's just spectacular. And I'm telling you guys, man, I can never get enough of it. It is truly, we are watching something special, man.
Enjoy every minute. Yes. And then I also wonder, did each of you, and I'd say probably most of the listeners too, did you all take a moment during that game or afterward and pat yourselves on the back? Did you do it? Did you? Did you pat yourself on, because you all deserve credit.
I did not.
You should. Pat yourself on the back right now, Guru. Steiny, I'm not sure about you, but most people listening, uh-oh, pat yourself on the back, because did you notice the referees twice called the Rockets for grabbing Steph off of the ball, and it's because the world made a big deal about it for about 48 hours leading up to Game 3. That's one of the things that I thought was incredibly important. It's the same thing I'll say. It's not even just about the Warriors or Steph. When you see the way the Knicks-Pistons game ended in Game 4 over the weekend, I'd like to make a huge deal, like we started to last week, about how the league handles review in the final 2 minutes of a game. Do it like the NFL. Don't leave it for someone to have a challenge still in their hip pocket. Well, you ruined a game. The wrong team won the basketball game.
Wow.
Because of the way, and they admitted it. They admitted it right afterwards. So, I know sometimes what we all do in the world of sports media seems like it's like frivolous and does it actually have a goal. Like, I truly believe that the chatter about what Houston does on Steph away from the ball led to calls in Game 3, because it happened twice, and it needs to happen again tonight, because this is the way Houston is coaching their players to play, and it's against the rules, and so I hope it keeps getting called.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's for you, Steiny.
I mean, we'll see. I think the one thing that's obvious, and I like it, is it's almost like the NBA is embracing this truism that the playoffs are different than the regular season. And I know some people aren't going to like that, because they're going to say the game's the game and you should officiate the way you officiate it and it should be consistent. But I look at every series and I think the league has apparently gotten together and said, let them play more. And it has not. You know, I don't really think it's hurt the Warriors at this point, but I think of all the teams, it feels like the Warriors were completely prepared for it, and they're okay with it, and they think they can win that way too if they have to.
Yeah, and I just think that fans are caping up for the Warriors more than the Warriors are caping up for themselves. And I did also notice what Mark mentioned about a couple of different times where, yeah, they actually called it, where Steph was trying to move and they made the call. And still, the Warriors got called for four more fouls than Houston. So I don't think that the Rockets can look at those two calls and think that they didn't get a fairly fair shake of the whistle. And Steiny, I've been looking at all the numbers of the fouls in the playoffs this year, and fouls are down about one foul a game over the regular year. So it's really not even that many more things they're letting go. They're still calling a lot of fouls. And if you look at the New York series that Mark was referencing, those games have been about 50 fouls a game, and the average in the NBA is about 37 or 38. So just depends on the series and depends on the physicality of that series. But I do think that this one, especially in Game 3, was called very fair for both teams.
Well, maybe I should say that the NBA is just acknowledging that the playoffs are different, not the officiating's different.
Right.
Because that would make sense to me if the foul call total is not increasing by a significant amount, but we know the intensity is.
Yes.
And the physicality is. So you're probably right. you know, the refs are calling about the same amount of fouls, but you can see that the playoffs are played differently than the regular season.
I think that's the observation, because it's almost like the level of play suggests there should be 5 to 7 calls more per game, and there's actually one call less per game. So I'm with you on that, Steiny. And you know what I've heard a lot of people say, and I don't disagree, these playoffs have been really entertaining.
Yes.
They've been really, really entertaining. So maybe there's something to be said for it, but I think there's a nuance to how you do all of this. Are you in general going to let a few extra things go? Sure. But we can spotlight certain things, and like I tried to kind of detail last week, I absolutely think Steph is one of them. I think the way that Orlando is handling Jason Tatum is another one. Like, I think there's things out there that are strategic and purposeful that have been coached on for certain teams, and that's the kind of stuff that I think officials need to do a better job of looking out for, and they're starting to. They're starting to as we get to game 3, 4, and 5 of these series.
Yeah, I came in this morning trying to, you know, it wasn't my objective, but I was beating the Rockets up for who they are and their ineptitude on offense. But Steiny had the best phrase, you know, they're a great story and a great team, but they're offensively challenged. But Dibs and Willard, with all that said, with about 7:30 left in the game, it was 80-80. It was there. But Gary Payton's personal 9-0 run, I can't remember doing the Warriors run of all the runs in the Kerr era where an other had his own personal 9-0 run. Can Dibs, anybody come to mind? Willard, like, that was special, well, and they needed every one of them.
I remember a game where LeBron scored 25 straight points against Detroit, I want to say in an Eastern Conference final.
Well, that's remember LeBron. That game? Yeah, I remember that at Detroit to close him out. But I'm talking about a Warrior. And GP is awesome. He's a champ. But a other player like that, guys, in a Warrior uniform, not named Steph Clay Durant.
Yeah, it's hard to remember anything like that. But, you know, when you look at the game log, and Quentin Post had a big bucket in there as well. And, you know, Steph Curry did so much to keep him even in it and set up the stage for GP2 to do that down the stretch. And
man,
I do think that when you look at the Rockets, and Steiny, you guys have made good points earlier about who this team really is. And they're built in the image of their head coach. And so even though they have many games this year where they scored 130 points, it's not really the way they go about winning a lot of games. And so if you look at a team that won 52 games in the regular season, they all weren't 91-90. So they do have the ability to score. Dylan Brooks had a great year in the regular year, and he has not been great in the series. And, you know, Jalen Green had the one good game. And you know what? If he does that again tonight, the Warriors might be in trouble, because the way he won game two was that way. He just was on an absolute heater, and Jalen Green went off, and you had no answer for it.
Mm. You're listening, ladies and gentlemen, to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. The one thing, and Guru's right about it, being 80-80 with about 7.5 left in the fourth quarter, and I get it, you say, man, but the Warriors are at an advantage. If the game is tied with 7 minutes to go, I think they're going to win 3 out of 4, 3 out of 5 of all those games because of Steph and because of their experience, because they make foul shots, because they're more skilled offensively. I'm not saying that if you told Steve Kerr it's going to be 80-80 with 6 minutes to go, he said, I'll take it. But at 80-80 with 7 minutes to go, I think the Warriors feel good at that point.
I'll take it. There was at no point in that game where I wasn't thrilled when the Warriors were just close. Like, didn't you feel at halftime? I was shocked they were down by 3.
Yeah.
I thought they should be down by 15 with the way that first half went. Then they were only down by 3. And then every time, because we were watching in a public place, like every time that it got like back to even, the whole place would light up. You were like thrilled that they were hanging in there. I wasn't expecting them to win that game. They're not that great of a team without Jimmy Butler.
Well,
and they won that game. Like, they were, I didn't even look at what happened to the line when Jimmy was announced out. Was Houston favored in that game?
That I don't know.
They were sure, only favored by two when people thought, or three when they thought he was going to be in. So I assumed that they quickly became the underdog. I don't know that, but at no point in the start, in the first half of that game, did I watch with an eye of expectation that the Warriors would win game three. And then when they played the way they did in the fourth quarter, I don't know about you guys, I walked out of there. I think that's the most impressive performance by any single team in the playoffs so far. Game three, Saturday night. Easily.
Ooh.
Easily.
It's the
only, first of all, only the Grizzlies and Warriors have had to play any games without a star. The Grizzlies did not win any games with or without their star. So it's the only team that has had to play without a frontline player. I guess you could argue the Bucks, but they've been playing without Lillard for a really long time. He got knocked out in the middle of the game yesterday, but they didn't win any of those games. The only game they won, Lillard played. So, like, I haven't seen anybody else go out there and win without one of their star players, let alone do it when you were immediately in the first half down by double digits. Like, add all of that up, what some of the role players, GP2, Buddy Hield, were able to go out there and do, yeah, that's the signature win of the playoffs by any team so far in my mind.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
Well,
I mean, you can argue Minnesota.
That's
over
what
the weekend.
I would say. Yes,
you can argue that. Yep. Like,
but
coming back
listen.
From 10 down, but yeah, like
I hear what you're
strength,
saying without Butler.
Yeah,
for
like,
sure.
I mean, Minnesota's full strength. I'm not convinced they're not better than the Lakers. Period. They
no, I think you might be right, Dibs. Here's one thing I was thinking about when I was looking at the Warriors. You know, we've been spoiled here. Curry, Clay, Durant, Draymond, Bogut, West, Iguodala. These are monster names. Listen to this starting lineup. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Pajemski, Kuminga, Post.
Yeah.
That's who started for the Golden State Warriors in a big, big playoff game. And that's what stuck out to me before tip-off, Dibs, was, oh, my God, look at this Warrior team. It's not that great,
right.
And yet they found a way.
Yeah. Second-year player, rookie, and a fourth-year player who has been put on ice for the better part of a month now. And, yeah, that's three of your starting five. And so, yeah, you had Steph and Draymond for sure, but then you've got a 25-year-old rookie who is a stretch five, and now he's here to stay. Pods, who, I mean, Pods has been amazing throughout the course of his year, certainly. And then Jonathan Kuminga, you didn't know what you were going to get. And I thought that he played pretty well in that first quarter stint. Offensively, I still think that he's a little bit unsure about what he is supposed to be doing, but defensively, that's where the game swung, and JK was pretty solid on Green most of the night.
Yeah, and I'll say this to that point, Dibs. You know, Jalen Green, I was looking for him offensively, and I felt like the Rockets did a disservice not trying to get him going after his big game, but it is what it is. But to Jonathan Kuminga, I was disappointed, and 17 minutes after you start kind of tells the story of what I thought I saw or didn't see. But to that point, Quentin Post, 1-7 from the field, 0-3 from three-point land. But you know what, guys? 27 minutes. Wow. How does that happen? He got 12 rebounds. He was mixing it up, and that's what I was just telling Steinie. My last thing on Kuminga is it's not just about points. What else can you bring to the table to have your coach keep you in the game? And I thought Quentin Post put that on. He illustrated that just 100% Saturday night.
Game four and game three are two totally different scenarios and assignments for Jonathan Kuminga. Game three, I think it's unfair to kind of come down on him because nobody knew that was coming, and he had been incredibly rusty and just thrown in there because the alarms went off and Jimmy is headed to the locker room. It's very different when you get a ramp up of 2 days where you essentially know that this is very possible, and then you're a starting player. And Dibs is not wrong. There were some nice defensive moments, a couple of them, some nice defensive moments for Kuminga. But other than that, he did not put a stamp on the game. And and he looks completely lost offensively. And if you want to blame that on Steve Kerr, past, present, future, whatever, go ahead and do it. The guy's been in the league for 4 years, and it's not like there was some weird, difficult assignment or whatever. We can't say this series is not built for him. Supposedly, he's very good against the Rockets. That's what happened earlier in the year. I think it's incredibly easy to call that a wildly large missed opportunity for Jonathan to go out there and change the tone of the discussion. To me, that was obvious.
Yeah, I don't know that you want him going out in that game and saying, I'm going to make an imprint. Listen, he may be completely responsible for the position he's in right now, but that's a tough spot to put him in. And you have to. Don't get me wrong, you have to. And I'm not feeling sorry for him. This is different. But I think to start Kuminga and to expect him to score 20.
No. I didn't say score 20, but go out. Just do go look good.
Yeah,
he didn't
look
good.
I'm with you.
You can't, like, I'm sorry. Lasting imprint. Lasting visual of Jonathan Kuminga for me. Gets the ball on the left block. Pivot. Picked.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, dude.
It.
You're lost.
Yeah.
You're lost. Yeah, I don't know what to say. There's no excuse for that in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, Will.
Yeah.
I mean, Steiny, for me, it's like the imprint would be as simple as going out there and getting a rebound or two. He had one rebound. And, you mentioned Quentin Post, a guy who was 1-for-7, but
man,
he kept playing because he had 12 rebounds. And so Quentin Post became a guy you absolutely had to play because he had 12 rebounds, he had 4 assists, and he was mixing it up on defense as well. And so I don't want to make this about, you know, Jonathan Kuminga and his effectiveness or his ineffectiveness, but there was a spot in there, I thought, in the first quarter where he could go out there and try to do the things that would keep him on the floor, and he didn't. And it's not about him trying to score or the ha-ha and all the rest of it, which we all love the ha-ha, but it was more about doing the other things, the little things that would make it so they had to play him.
I mean, he hasn't done little things for his entire career. Here's the way I'll put it. When Steve Kerr inserted him into the starting lineup after everything that's happened, that's about the way I expected him to play. I just did. I mean, I just, that's about what I expected out of Kuminga.
Yeah, and that's fair, and I do think that, you know, a guy in his fourth year and somebody from the G League Ignite, and I heard your caller earlier talking about any player who's come from the G League in that setting and has gone on to do really well, and I think that that's part of it, because when you go into that setting, you're trying to worry about your own offense and scoring the basketball, and you're not going to really go through and learn all the nuances of, you know, basketball, and I'm not going to compare him to Pods as players, but Brandon Pajemski played a couple years in college, and he played in two different systems, and he figured out what he could do to be an effective non-scoring NBA player, because he didn't play great on Saturday night scoring the ball, but he does all the little things. He takes charges, he defends, he passes, he's in the mix, and so he becomes the guy you have to play.
Hey, Dibs, you're the residential ref. I know we're about to get out of here, so I want to throw this at you, and Willard and Steiny chime in. I think it's a joke that the NBA has this pool report and they admit what we all saw, but you can't fix or rectify it. How do the Detroit Pistons feel when this report comes out, but yet you don't do anything in the real time? Just Dibs, can you help me out as to what does the pool report accomplish?
Transparency, and, you know, mistakes are going to be made, and, you know, the Warriors tonight will have turnovers, and the Rockets will have turnovers, and the referees will have turnovers. And so for me, it's not about them being able to be perfect, because they never will be. And I think the last two-minute reports about transparency, where the league looks at it and says, you know what, these were the things that were mistakes. And you remember game, no, it was the Memphis game in the play-in, where in the last two-minute report, there were four mistakes, two against Memphis, and two against the Warriors. And it's like, okay, the referees had a very bad last 2 minutes. So for me, it's more about, like, transparency and honesty. They're not going to ever get everything right. We know that.
But, I don't know that no one's asking for them to be perfect. I think we're just asking for, dude, like, fixable problems.
No,
like, if you can come out and tell us you messed up an hour after the game, why can't you tell us right then? And go fix it.
I'm with you.
Hey, I don't understand why someone doesn't have a challenge with a second left to
go. Who cares?
And so you're like, oops, oh well, you lose. Like that can't be, that just can't be the way we do it. The NFL has this figured out. Once you get to the two-minute warning, we don't need your red hanky anymore.
Wow.
Should be the same thing in the NBA.
Mm, like, dibs,
all you got to do is look at that, see a foul, put him on the free throw line.
There you go.
Hit at least two out of
there
three.
There you go.
Detroit wins, and we're tied 2-2.
Man.
Dibs and Willard, Guru had a great one today. I said, the NBA's already come out and said they missed that game-winning call. And Goo goes, oh, cool, so we're playing it over.
Right. Exactly.
Not quite.
Not my best work, Dibs.
No, it was awesome.
Rest
assured tonight, if you are going to focus on the officials, and we all three refs tonight are crew chiefs during the regular season, so you've got as much of an experienced crew as you could possibly want.
Wow.
All right, guys.
Do we have the show, Refalytics? Man. Do we have the Refalytics? Do they home teams?
No. They are solid in the middle.
Ugh.
They're like a 50-50 crew. They're a great
yuck.
All right, gents. Let me say thank you to the Stone Tree Golf Club. It is a wonderful place to golf. Beautiful day up here.
How
a lot of people
your
taking.
Day? You guys didn't talk about your day.
It was incredible.
It was a lot of fun.
The ambiance, Willard, the scenery.
Not done with my thank yous.
Oh, go ahead.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to run real fast, and then you're going to leave. I want to hear how it was out there.
Tell them, Stein.
It's nice. It's sunny. We're in the clubhouse.
Can you expand a bit?
Did you hit any balls?
I did not, no.
Guru?
No.
No. Hey, I did so well last year, they took me away from the ceremonial first week.
Yeah, but you could have hit your own.
Well,
that's true. Yeah. All right. So once again, thanks to the Stone Tree Golf Club here in Novato. Beautiful place to play golf. The Agape and at it's your account.
See?
At Compest Control.
There you go. My man's in the zone, baby.
Are you guys on your way to Chase?
Yeah, I am.
Good for you, Guru.
Yeah.
Stein?
I'm a game time decision.
No, you're not. I'll try to stop by. Thanks. No, you're not.
No, but if I am down there, we should encourage people to go say hi to Willard and Dibs and make sure when they're on the air, you try to distract them and try to talk to them. That's always fun.
And let's go Warriors. Let's go. Let's get her done.
We don't mind that at all. Yeah, absolutely. Come see us and make funny faces at us at the team store. Please.
All right, gentlemen. You can hear the game tonight starting at 7, Warriors Live at 6.
And Willard another Dibs special thanks 6 to ATCO Pest Control.
On 95.7, the game. Go ahead, Goo.
No, just another thank you to ATCO Pest Control and company for having us out here. This was awesome.
All right, gents. Take it from here.
Bye, guys.
All right.
The smartest show in the Bay Area.
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it is game four tonight at Shea Center. Willard and Dibs on the scene. Team store adjacent and ready to go. And for the YouTube audience, I'm going to hold this up right now and say hello to one of our viewers slash listeners, Ken C., who said, can Willard and Dibs please remind the fans to wear the damn shirts? Look at these shirts. Warriors. That's all it says right there.
Yeah.
Wear your shirt tonight if you are inside the arena. So those of you who are in your bathroom right now trying to pick out your outfit, do us all a favor. Scrap it. Just wear a t-shirt and jeans. Get your butt down here. Put the shirt on.
Well, you saw Juszczyk and McCaffrey wearing it loud.
That's exactly right.
Saturday night,
so don't act like wearing the shirt's not cool. Wearing the shirt is cool. Warriors got a home playoff game tonight. And Dibs, it is pivotal because they can take a two-game lead in the series.
I mean, if you go up 3-1, the odds are very heavily in your favor that you win the series. But they're already heavily in your favor because you won game three in a series that's one apiece. And we could debate pivotal or not pivotal. You need to win four of these, and they've won two, and so now the Rockets need to win three of the final four.
Yeah.
in order to do what they want to do. And so it's more pivotal for Houston tonight, but then you look at the home court advantage part of it. If the Warriors don't come out on top, well, bye-bye home court. Now Houston would get two of the final three, in theory, on their home court. So I do think we're going to get good news about Jimmy Butler, probably toward the tail end of the show.
We've pretty much already got it. Shams has already put his name on it.
Until he actually goes out there and plays.
He's going to play.
Yeah, I mean.
He's going to play.
Sure.
I'll put my name on it. He's going to play.
Yeah, okay.
What?
Nothing.
He's going to play.
I already said that I think that he's going to play, and, you know, you got 4 hours and 43 minutes until he actually has to play, so hopefully he can keep that tailbone tucked away so that when it comes time to play, he'll be ready to go.
Houston missed their chance. That's honestly what I really believe, and yes, they could. You're not wrong. They could go out and have a poor shooting night and all that. I thought they kind of had a poor shooting night on Saturday in the way that you would think. They needed someone else to step up. In the end, they did. GP2 did. Buddy, even in his own annoying way, did. But Pajemski still didn't hit, and Moody still didn't hit, and Jonathan Kuminga did not do anything offensively, and they still found a way to come out and win a basketball game that I didn't feel for much of the night that they were going to get. So it's hard not to believe that Houston has kind of had two chances, and they've not nailed it on either one of them. They came out, had the home court, they had the lead in game one in the first quarter, and then the Warriors dominate that basketball game. You win game one, a game we thought Houston pretty much had to have, they didn't have. Same thing game three. You get a game without Jimmy Butler, they didn't win it. Sure, they've got an opportunity to rectify that tonight. I don't love their chances. The Warriors are closer back to full strength, and the Warriors can take a stranglehold on this tonight. But before we get too far into tonight, I don't want to forget at all Saturday night, and we'd love to hear from you. The Warriors winning that game means what to you? I'll tell you what, I firmly believe the statement that I made, and I know some people are going to think that this is unfair because the Warriors were expected, they're favored to win this series. So was Minnesota's win over the Lakers yesterday, was that more impressive than the Warriors' win Saturday night? You can debate that, but for me, with Jimmy Butler out of the lineup, that win, Game 3, Saturday night, wildly impressive for the Warriors. And for me, the most impressive single victory that any team has had in these playoffs so far. And it absolutely puts their signature on the fact that they are who we thought they were. Oklahoma City is already in the second round and waiting. They're going to be the favorite. That's not going to change. But the Warriors are going to put a stamp on these playoffs. The Lakers might not. But the Warriors are. That's what Game 3 said to me.
Yeah, and Game 3 was very impressive, and, you know, we can compare it to every other playoff game and say which was more impressive than the other. I do look at a Houston team that they're clearly not ready to advance or go that far in the playoffs. They've got such a young core. Steiny was laying it out earlier, and he's right. When you look at five of their guys, they're all 22 or 23, and those teams don't usually advance very far. So the Warriors were impressive without Jimmy Butler, but they are going against probably the second weakest of the eight playoff teams, in my opinion. Memphis would be the other one. The Clippers and Denver, that looks to be a seven-game series.
Yep.
Maybe they're
going to
play nine just on principle.
Too. dude.
That thing is legit knockdown, drag out, heavyweight bout. The Lakers have, you know, major pedigree, and they're a team that, you know, even though whatever J.J. Redick decided to do, he played five guys for the entire second half. Yeah. That's like 1964 basketball.
He's been completely exposed.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that Game 3 states to me, which is, man, I am sure thankful for Steve Kerr, the entire Warriors staff,
right,
their medical staff even. Think about over the weekend what these two franchises, which often get compared, think about what they did. Both faced with a stressful situation. The Warriors said, relax, relax. We're going to give Jimmy a night off because we think we can handle it anyway. And then they did. Meantime, the Lakers are down three in a game four situation at halftime. They think they absolutely have to win it. J.J. Redick plays it as a game seven situation and loses the basketball game.
Up 10.
And now, right, even up 10 going into the fourth quarter does not change the strategy. Wears his 40-year-old out, and then he goes scoreless in the fourth. They lose the basketball game, and now they are in deep, deep trouble. There's where you see, for those of you who have struggled to figure out why Steve Kerr is as successful as he is, there's Exhibit A. You had a rookie coach with the Lakers get exposed over the weekend. You had a veteran head coach over the weekend stay calm in the face of adversity, pull out a victory, and now gets at least a healthier Jimmy Butler back in the fold tonight.
And it just is more than only Steve Kerr. It's an entire staff, and it's trust in the medical staff where Jimmy gets ready to play on Saturday, and he's clearly not all the way there. So there's really no decision to make. He doesn't play. And I know you want him to play and you want to win game three, but like you said, you got to have a great faith in everything else you're going to put out there. And you go to Kuminga, and Jonathan Kuminga was okay. He didn't, like Steiny said earlier, I think it was a great phrase to describe it. He didn't cost you the game. He didn't hurt you. And so you had him out there for about 16 minutes, and he did what he did, and Buddy Hield was spectacular, and Quentin Post was great, and Steph was his usual self.
Steph was unbelievable.
And the other piece of it is Draymond Green defensively was just phenomenal. Again, stepping in and switching off and stepping in front of Rocket offensive players, and so you pulled it out, and now Jimmy is almost assuredly going to play tonight, and you feel like, okay, this is the one where you really take the series by the scruff of the neck, and you make it so that you put Houston away. It's up 3-1 if they do win this one, but then Houston would have to win three straight, including, you know, two games at home and a game seven with a young team. I don't like their chances.
No, don't like their chances at all. And so, yeah, the Warriors are catbird seat right now. Got to go do it tonight for sure. But I tell you what, that really, to me, that was a signal on Saturday. And I'm not going to disagree with anything that you said as far as where you frame Houston. Are they the second weakest team in the Western playoffs, even though they're the two seed? Probably just because of circumstance. I think they're a very good
youth,
team, but they're youth. They're young.
Yeah.
So that youth kind of puts them in a little bit of a different spot, although you can look around at some of the other things that have happened out there. I did consider the Lakers an easier target for teams because they got worse defensively, even in the wake of becoming more dynamic offensively at the trade deadline, and that has proven to actually be a problem for them. They've not been able to get stops against the Timberwolves in that series. But anyway, I hear where you're coming from there, but no matter who you played, with that offensive lineup, to go out there and fly by 100 points and handle playoff game.
They got crapped by 100 points.
No,
but, yeah.
But they, like in this series, that's flying by 100 points.
It is.
It's the first time someone scored 100 points for the Warriors. So,
I had it at 101.95 going in, and so I was almost bang on the numbers.
What was the exact
104.93.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're not going to – no one's going to take the shine off of this one.
No,
I don't care what you say. I know you're trying to.
No doubt.
But there is no diminishing what the Warriors achieved on Saturday night without Jimmy Butler. Butler. You are forgetting what they looked like in January. You're forgetting what they looked like in December. They went 2 months where they barely won games against anyone. And then they went out there with a last-minute word that they would not have their game-changing acquisition. And then immediately fell down by 13, 14 points. And so to win that basketball game, yeah, that's the one. That's the most impressive performance anybody's had for me so far in these playoffs, and it has set them up with the opportunity they have tonight.
That's right, and it set them up. And so now you are set up for the opportunity. Now you have to go out there and seize the opportunity because you're favored again. You're at home, and you're getting Jimmy Butler back. So go out there and exert your will and win this game the way that you should win the game, because if you go the other direction and you allow this Houston team to feel like they've got a little bit of extra life, well, now you put yourself into a really precarious spot.
All right, we'd love to hear from you all afternoon long. We're at the team store getting ready for Game 4 tonight. Game 3's performance means what to you for these playoffs? 888-957-9570. Big runway for all of you listeners today. We'd love to hear from all of you coming out of the weekend and getting right in to Game 4 tonight. Warriors postseason coverage is brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament, which was today at Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by ATCO Pest Control. All proceeds benefiting the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. Your phone calls right now, 888-957-9570.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
9570 at the Team Store at Chase Center. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now back to Willard and Dibbs. Take it away, Mark.
Okay, Chef, get ready to do your thing. That voice is none other than the great Tim Roy. And guess what? Tim Roy. 4:15.
All right, let's go.
Willard and Dibbs. He's going to stop by on his way to work. tonight. And so that'll be a whole lot of fun. Other than that, it's all you. It's all you, people. We're getting ready for game four. We're still reacting to game three. And in fact, Dub Nation, let's get engaged. Me and Dibs, we're down on bended knee. Before every game, vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on the 95.7 The Game Twitter page. This is brought to you by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCoe.com today. Here's today's question. Game three on Saturday. Warriors had no Jimmy Butler, trailed by as many as 13 in the first half, yet came back to win the game. I said it already. Do you agree? Was that the most impressive win by any team so far this postseason? Yes or no? I obviously am a yes. I got to imagine Grand is a yes. What did you text us, that this was the biggest win of the dynasty or something like that?
One of the best wins of the whole dynasty. Yeah, the last decade.
It's a big statement.
Considering down Jimmy Butler, round not have one. Another running mate, really?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a for me, that's kind of what I'm getting at. That was a memorable night. I did not go in feeling optimistic.
Oh, I did. I absolutely did. And, I mean, even though you don't have Jimmy Butler and we didn't know until the 11th hour that he wouldn't play, you're still better than the Houston Rockets. This is a young team that's not really good at scoring, and you've got one of the fill-in-the-blank greatest players in the history of the game, and you're playing at home. Honestly, even without Jimmy Butler, I look at that game and I expect you to win. And I would not put this in the pantheon of the dynasty and playoff wins. It was a good playoff win. It was needed, and I do think that tonight becomes as important if you really want to go on a run, because we've talked about this before. You're an older team, and you're an older team that needs rest, so you don't want this thing to go six games. God forbid it goes seven. If you really want to have a chance in the next round against probably Minnesota,
looking like Minnesota, yeah.
Well, then, if Minnesota polishes off L.A. in five, you want to do the same, and you want to get equal rest. And so, yeah, it was a big win, and it was impressive. You didn't have Jimmy Butler, but for me to start talking about putting it in the pantheon, that's a little bit prisoner of the moment for me.
I'm not in pantheon, but I am going to say most impressive win I've seen any team get so far this postseason, and I think that you're slightly downplaying who the Warriors were prior to Jimmy Butler. When you say you're still better than Houston without Jimmy Butler, the season would suggest you're not.
About 12-3 start is, you didn't have Jimmy Butler. And,
right. That was a long time ago.
It sure was.
With a lot of different pieces, but anyway.
Tons of different pieces, but I still look at who you are as a playoff team, and you've got the playoff experience, and we ran the numbers, and you could take Jimmy's playoff experience out of it, but Draymond's 170 and Steph's 150 something, and Kevon's played however many. Those things to me matter, and you've got a Houston team that is young and inexperienced, and
for sure
they're on the road. It was the first time they've ever played a playoff game on the road.
I mean, but you're the one who's gone back through the season a whole lot. Now, I don't know about the relevancy of it when they're at full strength, but the Warriors without Jimmy Butler this year don't even qualify for the playoffs. They're not a playoff team.
Oh, they're probably a play-in team, 9 or 10 seed.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
You play your way out of that. So.
Yeah, which, unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, and, it happened in the East, so it's certainly something that could possibly happen, but I just look at where you are, especially being at home and all the pedigree that you have, and, we can highlight the coaching advantage, and I know that a lot of fans don't probably want to give Steve Kerr his flowers.
Of course not.
Even though he's won, 101 playoff games now?
Is that all?
I think he just went by Larry Brown, and he's now sixth all-time, I think, in playoff victories as a coach, and so...
And second fastest to do it in a number of games. Yeah. Only Phil Jackson did it in fewer games.
Well, there you go. Great add in there, Grandy. And that, I think, is just more fodder to the argument of, people who don't want to give him his flowers, and I don't understand it, but I like Ime Udoka.
That's
and I
coach.
Do think
yeah.
that I think with his team, he's got one way to coach, and this is the way. We got to beat him 90-89. And, the Warriors were able to get some Steph Curry offense, and Buddy Hield was terrific from behind the line. And, I mean,
kinda.
I love the Buddy Hield experience because he
do
gets
you,
a three.
Do
and
you
then he
really
gets
love it?
I love it because that's what I like sports. I mean,
I know
and Buddy's got that big creepy grin, and Buddy he's dribbling. It's like Buddy, just stop,
dude. You
stop
can't.
Dribbling. And he gets whoop.
You
gets
can't
picked.
Enjoy that in the moment, though. Do not tell me that you when he gets picked by Steven Adams.
Oh yeah.
You cannot.
Dude, ripped him the
you
kiwi.
Cannot get enjoyment out of that. In
I didn't
the moment.
Enjoy that moment, but I do enjoy the Buddy Hield experience because he's a fun player.
And oh
he,
my God.
And he plays with that. I mean, he plays with the effusive joy of a 9-year-old. He's just a kid playing a game.
That,
you know?
That's fine.
And I love to see
that's,
it.
That's fine. Again, it is. You notice that all of the Buddy stuff this year, it kind of comes in the post-game press conference where people start joking around with Buddy after wins. And it's really the only time you can enjoy Buddy is when you look back and you're like, it ended up being okay. It ended up being okay, but it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay when you were doing it. Nobody enjoys Buddy Hield in the moment. You don't enjoy him till you get home and everybody's there safely.
See, I enjoy the three ball.
And yeah, you can have highs, but the lows come with it. And
it's all the same.
And they're
it's
heavy.
Just, yeah. I mean,
they're heavy lows.
It's Buddy Hield, and it's kind of like any other player out there. And, Draymond Green puts you on an emotional roller coaster as well, where, great
different.
Defensive play, terrible turnover, great defensive play, technical foul.
Sure.
He'll hit an open three, and so it's a little bit of a different. Roller coaster,
but it is
an emotional roller coaster.
It's got some gravity behind it, though, when Draymond
does.
It,
yeah.
It has a resume
yeah.
behind it. When Buddy Hield does it, you're just like, are you serious right now? That's kind of how it feels when Buddy Hield does it. Yes, he does not have the cachet and the leash, if you will, that Draymond Green has.
Right.
Not even close.
I'm looking at a 90-second span of Buddy Hield.
My God.
9:07 to go. Hield steal. Buddy Hield, his third steal of the game.
Good Lord.
Curry misses a three. And then you come back the other way. Buddy Hield hits a three. Warriors take the lead. And 23 seconds later, Hield lost ball turnover. It's like, oh my, what are we doing?
It's just,
Adams with the steal.
It's not even the turnovers. It's the size of them and the hilarity of them.
Steven Adams picked you.
The largest man on earth, not named Zach Edey, picked you, took it the other way, and scored that sucker. Grizzly Adams picked you and laid it in.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy dribbles the ball out of bounds. He gets picked by a lumberjack. What are we doing? But then, you're right, he hits some threes.
Yeah.
He hits some threes and some huge ones. So I'm not taking away the imprint that he had on the game. I'm just, the experience is a heavy one.
No, and I loved it. I loved all of it. And the emotions of that game, there were highs and lows. And I was watching with, I'll name check him, my father-in-law, who tends to, when things are trending in a bad direction.
He doesn't like Buddy Hield, does he?
No, it's not even about Buddy. It's about like the general flow of a game. And Warriors go down 10 in the second quarter. And this one's over.
Oh, totally.
That kind of a vibe. And so I was watching with Pop, and we're watching it, and the day before we did the pancreatic cancer walk in the city, and so the emotions are all raw anyway. This thing's over. It's like they're only down 10.
Hey,
I mean, long way to go.
Let me tell everybody,
long way to go.
What you're talking about, it is very, very interesting to me. Like, you have to choose wisely with who you watch these games with.
Oh, I'm fine.
He's
welcome anytime.
No.
Yeah,
I know you are.
No, but
lovely Christy and I have watched each one of these. I love watching with her. She has a little bit of your pop in there, though. When it's not going well, and I'll be like bemoaning something. Oh my God, let me tell you, they can't. And she'll be like, well, yeah. You didn't think they were going to win tonight, did you? And I don't know if she's just trying to manage expectations and emotions.
Yeah.
Or if she actually is like, no, of course they're going to get their butts kicked. They're not very good. They're not very good. You know this, right? And I'm like, no, they're good. They're actually good. And that's kind of circling back to what I came out of Saturday night with. I still think there's a lot of people who, in a way, Warrior fans now, who kind of hate watch. this team. And what I mean by that is there's still a lot of eye rolling that goes on with the Warriors, whether it's the lack of depth, Draymond and his damn emotions, and technical fouls, and turnovers and bad passes, and Buddy Hield doesn't know what he's doing, and Kuminga's been ruined by Steve Kerr, and Pod's jump shot takes nights off, and how long are we going to wait for Moses Moody to actually make some jump shots, and this guy, Quentin Post, looks like a deer in the headlights. Everybody not named Steph is so damn flawed. Can you stop for a second and enjoy how insane this is right now? Wildly undersold. 37, 35, and 35. And here they are, out of the play-in tournament, running this series, and looking, quite frankly, like the team that might have the best opportunity to dethrone Oklahoma City. I don't know if anyone can.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if anyone can.
If they can even get to
they've
there.
Got, but, yes, right.
I mean, that's, yeah, I know what you're saying.
The odds-on favorite was the Lakers. How we doing?
Not great.
How we doing, right? And the Clippers and Nuggets are going to beat each other up, right? Look, the Warriors could lose tonight, and then they end up in the same bucket. But if they win tonight, they and Minnesota, I would argue, end up, in fact, it would be likely one of those teams that is going to end up in the conference finals up against Oklahoma City.
I can't even think about the dethroning of Oklahoma City. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about, like, the most impressive playoff performance. For me, it's Oklahoma City in game one of Memphis. And they beat Memphis by 55 or whatever it was. They could have won by 80. And they won that series in about 9 minutes. And so I know Memphis eventually lost John Morant, and they were overmatched anyway. But the way Oklahoma City came out in that game one and basically said, no, not only no, but we're going to hammer you in game one, and we're going to go ahead and put this thing out of reach, and we're going to get a week off.
I don't disagree with you other than it's a matter of perspective is what we're talking about here, because I told you that day, I'm like Oklahoma City minus 13.5 was my bet of the year.
Of course.
I'm like, they're going to crush Memphis, and they did. So my point is, if you match it up against the expectations you have, then what the Warriors did on Saturday, to me, is way more impressive to go out there without one of your stars and knowing, let's be real, it's not that deep of a team. It's not that deep of a team. But it worked. 888-957-9570, what the Warriors did on Saturday night means what to you with regard to their playoff standing? Let's go to Paul in Oakland on Willard and Dibbs live at the team store. Hey, Paul, thank you for calling.
You are welcome. Good afternoon, guys. So let me preface my point and my perspective. I'm a longtime Warrior fan. I lived through trading Wilt Chamberlain and getting three next to nobodies. I lived through drafting Rick Barry and then losing him to the ABA. I watched him play for the Oakland Oaks and saw just how big a player he was in terms of a part for the Warriors. I lived through losing Nate Thurman. The gut punch for me was the 1976 Western Conference Finals, and Dibs might have a recollection to this.
Oh, yeah.
He was there.
In that treacherous Game 6. And even though they've won the championships and they've won games that had bigger prizes attached to them, for me, the win on Saturday night finally eviscerated and got rid of that horrible kick to the groin that 1976 semifinal loss to Phoenix lingered for 50 years. And it wasn't just the win, but it was all the pieces that had to fall into place for them to get it. Without Jimmy Curry having to just play darn near perfect ball, getting contributions from a lot of different guys. It kind of went back to the old strength in numbers that Coach Adels employed when they won the NBA championship back in 74, 75. So that game Saturday night, and I agree with Grandy and his take about it being a franchise, you know, one of the greatest wins in franchise history.
Man, that's a, Paul, that's a very, very big statement. So this one actually, what year did you say this cleared? This
1976.
This cleared like a 50-year-old wound for you?
1976, watching Rick Barry and them just melt. And he, you know, the allegation was he was pouting and all that. And for them, you know, they came back and won the championships, the four rings and all that. But this one, the way it happened, finally got rid of that real deep groin kick that 76 series it was huge. And I did run into Coach Adel's son on Saturday night at an event, and I've known Al the Third a little bit, and he saw me, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "This one finally did it." And I said, "Well, you know what? You're absolutely right." And it was awesome.
Paul, thank you for calling.
Rick Barry's always said that the 76 team was better than the 75 team. The 75 team actually won the title, and Rick always laments that they didn't go back-to-back because that team was actually better. And Phoenix got him with a buzzer beater in Game 6, and then Rick Barry and company were just not good in Game 7.
The greats always say the losses stick with you a lot more than the wins do. So, you know, this one was a win, though. And again, I don't know. I'm actually surprised by some of these answers, with it being kind of like a franchise iconic victory. I mean, it's round one. I just was very, very, of all the playoff games that I've watched, good Lord, like, I've never watched this much basketball in my life, man. I'm watching almost every game that I can in these playoffs, and this one to me was the most, you're welcome. This one to me was the most impressive performance when you consider the factors involved.
It was an impressive win, no doubt, and I'm not going to try to counterpoint you on this, because it was an awesome victory to be down 13 a couple of different times and to be mostly dead in the water offensively, and you found a way, you dug deep, Steph with a couple buckets, Buddy Hield in the second quarter helped keep you in it, and by the time you went to the locker room down 3, I was feeling really good about where they could probably get to in this ball game. I thought they were down three in the second quarter.
Interesting.
Well, because you could have been down 18 or 19.
No doubt.
I mean, you were offensively, they had nothing going. And, you know, Houston was doing just enough to keep you at bay.
I bounced to the bathroom at halftime.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was walking a foot above ground. I'm like, they're only down by 3?
Yep.
But I still couldn't sit there in that moment and be like, they got this. Not at all. I mean, where was the offense going to come from? And they got very, very creative in the second half. And then, yes, Buddy knocked down some shots. I think Quentin Post, did he only have 2 points in the game? But my goodness, that was a big bucket.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big bucket. The little one-handed floater there in the lane in the fourth quarter. So, you know, and Gary Payton was obviously fantastic.
Phenomenal.
Just a tremendous game by him. Let's go to JJ in San Rafael. Hi, JJ. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I want to talk about Quentin Post. I think, first of all, his rebounding was absolutely sensational. But what I noticed was he's probably the second-best pure three-point shooter on the team, but he's not good at shooting under pressure. And I think we need to, you know, run Trace Jackson Davis or somebody at him and get him used to putting up three-pointers with a hand in his face. Because you got to be able to do that in the NBA.
Well, that's an interesting take, JJ. I would look at it a little bit differently from this perspective. A, I think it's a little early to start writing down things in ink with regard to what Quentin Post is or is not good at in the playoffs. This is only his third game as a playoff performer. And remember, in game 2, he knocked down 4 or 5 three-pointers. So three-point shooters are allowed on off night. Houston is a very, very good defensive team. Nobody is leaning on or relying on Quentin Post to be a fantastic offensive performer. But I'd also say, I actually don't want Quentin knocking down contested threes. That's not his job. There are very few people who can take and make contested threes in the NBA. Those are the stars. But the way ball moves around on offense in the NBA now, what you're actually looking for is the ball to land with someone who can shoot a very open three. And that's what Pods needs to be better at,
yep.
and what Moody needs to shake off, and what Quentin needs to do. If they're contested, I want them to pass the ball, unless there's 1 second left on the shot clock.
And I thought that Quentin just got a little quick with his three,
yep.
and, you know, some of it was they were more contested than what he's used to. But, yeah, you get into that spot, and you should have somebody who can hopefully move the ball. Gary's done really well at that, about getting in the corner, open three, and knocking it down. So you don't have a great shooting team. If Buddy Hield is not on, then who's your second best shooter outside of Steph? You don't really have one from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, you got
if
guys.
Buddy's off.
You got a lot of guys who moonlight. I mean, you know, Post is probably your next purest shooter.
He's a rookie. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a rookie.
Right.
You know, and then, yeah, you're looking for people to get hot. It's kind of, I mean, Houston is no different. In fact, worse. They don't, I mean, Dylan Brooks is the only one who's, like, night in and night out reliable from out there.
Outside of Steph and Buddy, you were 4-for-21 from three.
Yep. They were not good.
No, they were
actually,
bad.
To me, is the most encouraging thing going into tonight, is the guys that you would think, okay, Jimmy's out, what do you need in order to win the game? The things that I would have pointed to didn't happen. They didn't happen, and they still won. Pods didn't hit. Moody didn't hit. If those two things, Jimmy's out, Pods didn't hit, Quentin didn't hit, Moses didn't hit, I'd have told you, then they're going to lose.
Yeah, probably. You would figure, because that's been the formula. This team loves to shoot the three. They took 45 of them, and that's why I keep going back to the Buddy Hield experience, because if it wasn't for Buddy playing and shooting it the way he shot it, you probably aren't even in that game in the third quarter.
888-957-9570. The win without Jimmy on Saturday night means what to you with regard to this playoff run? I think it's the most impressive playoff win I've seen a team get so far here in this month of April.